For those of you who are just joining us, I'm sorry you just missed a great time of worship. Wish you could have been here. But we can all share in the Word together. So let's turn over to Psalm 34. I'm going to be sharing from my very favorite psalm today. And for those that are viewing, we again want to extend our invitation to come up for Revival PEI, July 24th to August 2nd, 10 days of meetings to pray for revival. There's still some room. There's one or two rooms in the inn, and there's rooms in the house, and there's rooms in the yard, or there's room in the yard. So you're welcome to come up, and if you don't have any financial resources, just come anyway, because we're more concerned that people come here to pray for revival than we are about the regular necessary things. So if God's put it on your heart to come, please just come. Just come without regard to anything else. God will take care of all these details. But you are a key element for Revival PEI, because every person who comes and every person who prays, God's going to hear those prayers and answer them in a way that's beyond what you know. So if you're experiencing difficulty in your determination to come here, the reason is because there's a lot that's in the balance. God's going to hear your prayers, and many lives will be affected by your earnest prayer. So it doesn't come without a price. You're going to have to be diligent. You're going to have to pray hard. You're going to have to experience difficulty. You're going to have to pick your transmission up off of the road, and you're going to have to get it replaced, and you're just going to have to be determined to come anyway. As you know, some of the various things that happened last year for our poor people that were coming, well, this year we're just going to have to redouble our efforts and be even more determined, because God will answer your prayers, and God is going to visit you and your family and your church and your town, and He's going to visit the island. And it doesn't take a great amount of people. We don't have to have a stadium of people to seek God for revival. A small handful who are earnestly seeking Him is enough. It's enough. So let's pray for God's blessing on this word. Lord God, your word is life to us. It is like bread from heaven. And I pray that it would be the bread of heaven today to each one who is here and each one who is tuned in. That your word, O Lord Jesus, would be the bread of heaven. That it would be simply you handing it to us and us passing it out, Lord, just as when you fed the 4,000, Lord God, that it would be bread from heaven. For, Lord, man's words are useless and void, Lord God, of any good, and so are mine, Lord, unless you enliven it with your Spirit. And so we pray that it would be you who would speak and not me, that we might be edified in our spirits, Lord. Please bless this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's turn over to Psalm 34, as I said. This is, again, my favorite psalm, and the one that I continually quote, both in my just personal walk and when we are performing or reaching out somewhere. Psalm 34 is always close to my lips. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make his boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions may lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So you can see why that would be my favorite psalm. Because, of course, like anyone who is earnestly seeking God these days, we experience great difficulties and afflictions and all sorts of troubles and testings. And it's all part of the package. And Jesus warned us that if we would follow after him, we would have tribulation in this world. And so it is with everyone who seeks the Lord. We will experience a lot of difficulties. And this psalm is a key to overcoming those difficulties. Now there's three distinct, elements that we see in this psalm. The first one is in verses 1 through 3. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Okay. Having the praise of God on our lips is our most powerful and effective tool for overcoming our circumstances. Whatever circumstances we are in as we are seeking the Lord, typically they will be very severe. And it is the praise of God being on our lips which will give us the overcoming power to have victory in the midst of our circumstances, whatever they might be. And this is not our natural bent. We do not typically normally exude praise and thanksgiving in the midst of difficulties. It's not our natural makeup. Our natural makeup is to complain, to be full of despair, to be discouraged, to have a blackness settle on us when we are in the midst of the furnace of affliction. And so our weapon, the weapon of our warfare, which God has given us, is this beautiful verse, not only here, but just continually from cover to cover. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my lips. Now, let me tell you what is going on at this time. The devil is preparing to wage war against God. In fact, he already did that once and lost, and he will also lose again. And yet for some insane reason, for some pride which cannot be quenched, he has purposed to rise up again and fight against God. And he is now gathering mankind, he's gathering his army and his troops to rise up against God. And so the devil is using all the media. The things which come out in the media now are openly against God. Openly against God. Movies are released. The Golden Compass series, Harry Potter series, Da Vinci Code, my goodness, these are things which are stirring people to open warfare against God. Okay, we've lost all sense of decency or fear of God, and we are now a generation is being raised up to actually openly hate God and fight against Him. And you'll notice that in these demonstrations now, we see it particularly down in Massachusetts. I was reading about it. But our various gay parades and all of these things are now becoming actually openly in warfare against God. You'll notice that even the slogans are not directed toward men or group anymore, but literally against God. And so a great movement is afoot to make people rise up in an insane urge to fight against God. Now, that is a spirit which has been let loose upon the earth that is affecting millions of people. It is a Pandora's box, and it's like a spell which has come upon us. Now, it's not confined to non-believers. That spirit which has been poured out on the earth is affecting everyone. And so, when you are distressed or undergoing some affliction, you'll find that the devil is constantly whispering in your ear that the Lord is not faithful, that the Lord has forgotten you, that the Lord doesn't care about you, that the Lord is not keeping His promises. And he will try to bring up and stir up an actual open anger against God. And it's not natural. It's not from you. So don't worry that you're thinking these horrible thoughts about God. It's the spirit of our age. But it is so prevalent that whenever you're afflicted or in distress, you'll find that these are the type of things which are entering into your head and are affecting you so mightily. It's the spirit of the age and the things, a sign of the things to come. But God has given us weapons, and the weapons of our warfare is, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It is to begin to bless God. And as I said, this is not our natural bent. This is not the way we're naturally wired. But we would instead rather be in the pits. So, when it comes to this word, we have to not only take its advice, but we have to look at it as though it was the actual command of God. As it says in the New Testament, even more boldly, rejoice at all times. Again, I say rejoice. It is not a suggestion. It's actually God's will. And if we would obey Him, we would have to begin to praise God in the midst of our circumstances. And I know that this is probably old to many people, but my goodness, we need to be reminded by it continually. But so we need to, we have to exert a great energy to bless the Lord at all times. As I said, if we don't exert energy, we will just simply drift into a place of despair and discouragement when trouble comes. And so we must fight against that. It takes an energy, it takes an effort to praise God. It doesn't just happen. So we have to take these verses as though it's God's command for us. And in the beginning, especially, we have to simply do it because God says to. And so we begin to praise God. We're in the midst of physical distress or financial distress or some disaster has befallen us. And to obey God, we must begin to seek Him out and begin to thank Him, begin to praise Him, begin to bless the name of God, that His praise would be on our lips and in our hearts continually. And as we do that, an amazing thing begins to take place. And that is that heavy, heavy, heavy cloud and that blanket that is on us begins to actually dissipate. It begins actually to lift. And we begin to have lightness in our spirits as we praise God. And it could take a while. So it's not, again, an easy thing, nor is it for the faint of heart. When we begin to bless God in the midst of our horrible circumstances, be prepared. It could get worse. And many times it does. And as you're praising God, the oppression upon you might become so severe that you'll feel like stopping. If you press on, that the praise of God will be on your lips continually, and you continue to praise God for a while, for a season, for a half an hour, for an hour, or however long it takes, blessing God. Now, after a season, or a time, or a short time, that dark, oppressive spirit will begin to lift off of you, especially if you make the Lord your boast. Oh man, this is a great place to get loud if you have to. What I mean by that is just say it out loud. My boast is in the Lord. As the devil is trying to discourage you and say all manner of evil about the Lord. You see, he's the accuser not only of the brethren, but he is the accuser of God. And as he is accusing God to you in the midst of your despair, you see, as soon as you're in despair, he's got a receiver. He can begin to say bad things about God. That's what he does. And as long as we're in the pits, we can be susceptible to receive bad thoughts about God. And as we rise up in strength and we make our boast to be the Lord and we say it out loud, Lord God, I bless you. I bless you in the midst of this, and I thank you for your faithfulness. My boast is in you. Well, there's no describing what takes place in the spirit realm when you do this, because we just live in a little bit of this world. We just live in the part you can see. The rest of the world is invisible, and it's really inhabited. There's a lot going on that we can't see, which is clearly shown to us in Scripture. And as we begin to praise God with boldness, mighty things begin to happen. And the Spirit of God begins to lift that horrible darkness, and we begin to get victory and joy. We live right close to the coast here on Prince Edward Island. We're only just a couple miles from the Gulf of St. Lawrence. And the reason we live in our particular hillside is because I noticed when we were coming up here to move here many years ago that as the fog rolled in, the cold fog rolled in off of the sea, I noticed that it seemed to cling to the shore and just kind of stay there in a big mass. And as I was driving around, I noticed that all you had to do was drive out of it, and it was a beautiful sunny day. And so we decided to move where the sun was, and not where the fog typically gathers. And so I've thought about that a lot, because from our hillside, we can actually see the gathering mass of dark fog that clings to the coast. And the villages that are along the coast there, they are engulfed in it. They're engulfed in this. And their perspective when they get up in the morning is, oh, another lousy day. It is cold and clammy and wet, and there's no sun. On the same morning, we get up and the light is streaming onto our porch, and we're just blessing God for the sun. And so I think about the different perspectives. Now, the truth of the matter is, it's not a gloomy, rainy day. It's actually just fog that is there. The truth is, it is actually a brilliant, sunny day. That's the truth. They're living in a situation where it looks like it's horrible out. But the truth is, just outside that little, you can just see it. It's just like a column that's laying on the horizon of fog. And as soon as it lifts, then it's like, oh, it's actually a beautiful day. Now, they can't do anything except wait for it to lift. But as Christians, it's just like that. We have this heavy fog of discouragement and despair that comes upon us. We don't have to wait till it lifts, because it won't lift if we just wait. This fog lifts as we begin to bless God, as His praise is continually on our lips, as we make our boast to be the Lord. Man, it's just like, it just dissipates those clouds. The sun from God begins to shine down on us, and the second element in this psalm comes to pass, which is I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So the first thing that happens as we begin to praise God, as we begin to bless Him continually, is He begins to do a work in our hearts. He does an internal work, and the peace of God begins to shine into our heart. And the fears begin to leave us. And now, this is so powerful. The presence of God is so powerful. The peace of God is so powerful that even if you have a severe condition, even if you have found out that you have cancer, or you've just gotten a horrible report, and your fears are overwhelming you, even then, as we bless the Lord continually, God will deliver you from your fears. He will put you at peace. He will give you rest in your soul. And a miracle will take place in your heart, because where no man or woman could be at peace when they get a report like that, God will give you peace. And so whatever your circumstances are, whether it's financial disaster or one of your children, whatever it is, God actually, literally, is able to deliver you from all your fears. He is actually able to give you peace that passes understanding. This is the fruit of obedience, of praising Him openly, loudly, joyfully, continually, and persistently. This is the fruit of it, is that God will give you peace. And then the next thing takes place, the next element. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. Those who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. So the next element is that God will actually bring about some deliverance, a way. He will provide for the need that is so pressing, or He will move upon the child that is wayward, or He will do some great work to bring actual physical comfort into your situation. So, He cares about you. He cares about your physical situation. He doesn't want you just to have peace. He's glad to give you peace, and that's the first priority. But He also is concerned about your needs. And for those who walk with God and walk close with God, God has always intended that your life would be miraculous. He has intended that His people would walk in the miraculous. How do I know that? Well, Jesus said, don't even take a thought for tomorrow. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He said, don't store up. He said, don't even take an extra pair of shoes. So we see that God intended His people to really walk in the supernatural. So that for God to intervene in your day, is to be natural for those who walk close to him. Now, God has ordained that there is the normal means, and the world at large has the normal means of producing food and all of that, and just living life like ordinary. But those who seek the Lord and seek to walk after them, him, God has a special path for them that is miraculous. And so, as you seek the Lord, you can expect miraculous supernatural intervention all the time. All the time. All the time. That God will meet that need, that God will take care of you, that God will give us peace. As our precious brother here, Sonny, was sharing in prayer, that God is always, we're confident that he will meet our needs. It's his supernatural intervention in our lives. That's what God does, and it's what he loves to do. So don't think of a miracle as being something that's far off or difficult to obtain. Think of it as being something that's commonplace to those who walk in God. It's to be our ordinary daily thing. Just like the people, the Israelites in the wilderness, daily they received their manna, their provision, their water. So it will be with God's people. And even more so as the times get darker and harder, because we see things really tightening in the U.S. and Canada. And God is going to be enabling his people to live more in faith all the time in the miraculous, God's supernatural provision, his supernatural care. So just begin to get comfortable in it, because that's God's purpose in this, and he's not going to let go of you. And so might as well just surrender now and just begin trusting the Lord daily for what you need. Expect him to intervene. Expect his provision. Expect for whatever your needs are, that God will care for you each day.
Amen.
That's how God has intended his people to walk. So I want you to be encouraged in this, that all of this miraculous intervention in your life actually begins by the step of obedience, of praising God all the time, that you would go in and come out singing his praise, worshiping his name, always finding something to thank God for, that dispels that blanket of despair and paves the way for peace in your heart, and then also an actual physical deliverance, the physical care of God for you. So I hope this encourages you. I hope that you use it as your encouragement to get up here for Revival PEI. I hope you use this for like, man, I don't have any money and I don't know how I'm going to afford the gas. You say, I bless God. I praise you, Lord, that you will make a way for me and you'll provide. And he will. And he will. Just that easy. So, let's pray. Lord, we can hear these things, but we can only put them into practice through your intervention in our lives, through your Holy Spirit. And so we pray, oh Holy Spirit, that you would do this in us, that you would do this good work in us, that instead of complaining in the wilderness, Lord, we might rejoice in the wilderness. Instead of being like the ten who spoke evil against the Lord, let us be like Joshua and Caleb, to give a good report that our God is able, that he is able. Lord, let us make our boast in you. Let us boast in you. Please bless each one that is here. Please bless each one who is tuned in, Lord God, with supernatural strength to have a victorious life, a victorious walk in you, and a victorious week. Lord God, let your strength be upon us all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.